Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers back in the win column, taking down the Reds. The offense exploded. Tony Gonsolin had maybe his worst start of the season, but we'll talk more about that and why he came out early. And then we're going to talk about some Sack Bunts, because who doesn't love Sack Bunts? I think it might be you might know the answer if you keep watching. So that's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it a Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports Card Investor. Dodger fans, you're going to love this because it's the world of trading cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app can help you out. And if you stay tuned, you'll learn more information later in the show about this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Investor app. You also want to check out Locked On Dodgers on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast, because that's where we are every single weekday morning. And make it easy on yourself. Subscribe, and you can just get it straight directly to your notifications and know exactly when we are live, which is usually every single weekday morning around 1 a.m. Pacific time. So if this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Amperio with my co-host here, Jeff Snyder. We are both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent some time covering the Dodgers in a variety of ways and continuing to cover the Dodgers in a variety of ways. One of those ways, including this podcast, and where we talk about the Dodgers. So, Jeff, let's do what we do and talk about the Dodgers. Dodgers won, put up 8 runs. Shout out to Cincinnati Reds. The Dodgers have now won 5 games against them so far this year in 5 games played. Offense, top of the order, basically 1 through 5, all contributed. Justin Turner added a couple hits. We'll get into that. We'll get into sacrifice bunt, something we saw in this game for the first time as a Dodger fan this season. But we're going to start with the starting pitcher, Tony Gonsolin, who usually at this point of the episode, when we talk about Tony Gonsolin, it's for continued praise and trying to get him as the All-Star Game starter. He continues to lead the league in ERA, I believe, but it did go up after today's game. He did, you know, only get through 5 innings, but 5 innings, 2 runs, with the way the Dodgers offense played, was enough for him to go 9-0. So some positives, some not as positives, and then we'll get into just the decision to take him out after 5.
Yeah, his ERA just ballooned all the way up to 1.58 after this game. It's shameful. You know, he struggled a little bit the first couple innings, gave up 2 solo home runs, and was down 2-1, and then he settled down, and he basically, the 3rd through 5th innings, he looked exactly like the Tony Gonsolin we've come to expect this year. And he put the Dodgers in position to win, and that's what they did. You know, he gave up 2 runs in 5 innings. He probably could have gone a 6th inning. And, you know, he was at 87 pitches. And, you know, there was a little bit of surprise. I was listening on the radio at this point, although I did watch later. I watched the replay on Spectrum, Sportsnet LA, after I got home or back to my parents' house. But I was listening on the radio, and they were a little bit surprised to see Gonsolin in the dugout getting his handshakes and putting on his jacket or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of that borderline. It wouldn't have been crazy to send him back out there, but at 87 pitches, you think, okay, he could definitely go 100. But, I mean, the first inning, he threw 20 pitches. Second pitch inning, he threw 21 pitches. I think that's what it was. And if he goes out there and has another 20-pitch inning or even 25-pitch inning, suddenly he's throwing 110 pitches and – that's not really what you want, especially with the schedule they have coming up.
Yeah, and it's a thing also of a matter of kind of what we talked about the last time with Gonsolin, of him being – now, the game wasn't out of hand when he came out. You know, it was 4-2. It wasn't like the Dodgers had the game in the bag yet, but it's a matter of trying to steal these types of games in terms of letting him only go 5 or letting him – you know, even if he had win 6, but 87, you know, whatever the case is, keeping his pitch count down, just knowing that he hasn't thrown this much since 2019, and that, you know, pretty much every time out, he's expanding on what he's thrown the last few years. Now, you know, he's a little bit different guy, a little bit older, a little bit tougher arm. We talked about that before, but I think this is one of those where Dave Roberts felt comfortable enough with the day off yesterday, letting, you know, the bullpen handle it, and, you know, being content with Gonsolin getting his five innings, leaving with the lead. You know, even though wins and losses don't matter in the grand scheme of things in terms of like how we should view pitchers, you know, it's still a matter of a pitch. Starting pitcher wants to go at least five innings every time out. It is, you know, what qualifies you for a win. And I do think there's still some merit in that in terms of the guys on the field. You know, Tony Gonsolin's going to want to go at least five every time out just for his personal sake, and definitely more. But I think he can understand what the decision was, and it ended up working out for the Dodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was the first game of 20 straight games. The Dodgers don't have a day off until July 11th, which means this game was on an extra day of rest, but Gonsolin's next four starts are all going to be on regular rest, on 4 days of rest. And Gonsolin's a guy, most of their rotation, as we've talked about, they'd love to get an extra day each time. And this is a situation where unless they call up Ryan Pepiot or somebody like that for a spot start at some point during this stretch, they're not getting extra days. And so I think we are going to see maybe a little bit of a revolving door with the bullpen, possibly of guys going up and down, or, you know, if a guy, maybe they have to lean on a reliever for two innings and then he gets to go cool his heels on the IL or in AAA for a little while during this stretch, because I think they are going to be a little bit conservative. And Gonsolin said after the game, one of the reporters, I didn't recognize the voice. I'm not sure who it was, but was kind of getting Gonsolin to say, I'm upset that they pulled me out. But basically what Gonsolin said is, I've got like 19 more starts this year, and I understand we're playing for the long season. So Gonsolin said the phrase, I don't have a problem with it, because I think he knew what the reporter was fishing for. Because yeah, I mean, every pitcher would love to compete and keep going out there, but to have that, it's one of the things that I like about Dave Roberts, is that his team buys into what he's doing and they understand, even when they don't necessarily agree with it, or they wish it was different. The fact is they understand what he's doing. They understand that he's managing to win the last game in October, and, you know, whether they agree with the approach every time or not, they definitely appreciate it. And it's why pretty much to a man, everybody who's ever played for Dave Roberts likes playing for him, because he, you know, he's not perfect, but he definitely has that goal of winning the World Series. And very, very rarely does he let anything else get in the way of that.
And realistically, you know, Gonsolin should be upset at the, you know, moment, or, you know, at the situation, just as a competitor, like you mentioned. But when it comes down to it, and he's been here since 2020 or 20, yeah, or he's been around for 2020, you know, he knows what it feels like to see that last out get made, and you're the winning team in the last game of the season. So he knows what it's all about, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah, and he even said, you know, when they were asking if he wished they had let him go in another inning, he even said, I wish I'd thrown more strikes earlier in the game, you know, because, yeah, if his pitch count had been at 70, he would have thrown the sixth inning, or even 75, you know, but at 87, because he struggled with his command the first couple of innings, and he said so. He was very pleased with the way his pitches responded, and he responded for those last three innings he pitched. But he understands, okay, two long innings can definitely affect how deep you can go in a game. And that's part of his progression as a pitcher, because those long innings are what we used to get every inning from him, is why he'd go three or four innings. The fact that we're talking about Gonsolin only going five innings, even 3 months ago, that would have seemed like a ridiculous discussion. We'd be thrilled to get five innings from Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about sacrifice bunts. I know Jeff is chomping at the bit to talk about this, but we're going to talk about the sports card investor app first. Why? Because it's free, first of all. Why else? Because you can browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds added each week. You can check the latest values for cards with 7-day charts, 30-day charts. See if you have, you know, you might have some cards laying around, or you might be a collector now, and you might say, hey, what if I did want to sell this? I can go check it out and see what the value is, see what they're selling for, and see if it's something that's worth selling for you. So find the best prices and buy directly through the app as well. If you are trying to buy with the eBay deals feature, go back in time, see how much your favorite old cards are worth today with the free Sports Card Investor app, or check out some of the newer cards, like I said, or some of the upcoming players. A lot of young talent in baseball right now. So go check it out. Download the Sports Card Investor app today. It's available for free on the Google Play and Apple app stores. Or you can just go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. That's sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. Oh, right. NBA draft night is coming up. And one live show is not enough for Locked On. The entire NBA channel is going live on NBA draft night. So if you have a favorite NBA team, like maybe the Lakers or Clippers, if you're from Los Angeles, make sure you subscribe now to their Locked On YouTube channel so you get notified when they go live on NBA draft night. All right, Jeff. So Dodgers, we saw a sacrifice bunt in the game, and we have talked about small ball and get questions about small ball all the time. We got one last week about small ball where I mentioned the Dodgers have had plenty of times with runners on third with less than one out and then not scoring. So I don't know, you know, small ball, unless you want some squeeze bunts, which we have talked about being in favor of before. But either way, sacrifice bunts. We thought about talking about the Dodgers struggling in extra innings the other day. And when you think about struggling in extra innings and you are someone who thinks small ball is the way, possibly still, sacrifice bunts is also a part of that. So with all that being said, I will hand it over.
Yeah, you know, I was already excited to talk about sacrifice bunts on this episode. I mentioned I listened to a bunch of the game on the radio. I was out at the Dodgers Nation studios today recording something. I think it's dropping on their YouTube today. And so I ended up watching the first couple innings of the game with them at their studios, and then I listened to the rest of the game in rush hour traffic on the radio. And so I got to hear Rick Monday's take on Rick Monday and Tim Neverett's take on the sacrifice bunt when it happened. And then, as I mentioned, I watched the replay on Sportsnet LA. So I got to hear Eric Karras and Joe Davis talk about it. And I watched the postgame show and got to hear Jerry Hairston and others talk about it. And so I kind of heard everything that they had to say. And actually, Karras and Joe was the last people I got to hear from. And I was very relieved to hear Eric Karras include a very important bit of context. You know, Rick Monday basically said, I hope the Dodgers remember next time they're in extra innings, the importance of a sacrifice bunt. And Jerry Hairston was extolling the virtues of sacrifice bunts and all that. And Eric Karras was the one guy who brought up the key bit of context, which was Eddie Alvarez. You know, people wanted small ball when the Dodgers lost on Friday night in extra innings. Freddie Freeman led off that inning. Freddie Freeman is not going to sacrifice bunt. And we don't want Freddie Freeman to sacrifice bunt. Now, we would love it if Freddie Freeman would put the bat on the ball in that situation, which he didn't. He struck out. But Freddie Freeman is a guy you trust. Okay, I think he's either going to get a base hit to drive in the run or at least pull a ground ball to second base. That's what they're going to do. You know, Freddie Freeman is never going to sacrifice bunt. Every time Eddie Alvarez comes up with a runner on base and nobody out, he should be bunting because A, he can bunt, and B, he's not much of a hitter. And we had already seen in this game, he had already struck out looking against Tyler Mahle. He struck out looking again later in the game. You know, he was a prime candidate to do a sacrifice bunt. And the fact is the Dodgers don't have many Eddie Alvarez's on the team. In fact, they only have one, and they only have one lineup spot that ever holds a guy like Eddie Alvarez, and that's only because Mookie's hurt, you know. And so anyway, like I said, I was already excited to talk about this, and then before we started recording, I was watching the Padres Diamondbacks game, and that game went to extra innings, and it was tied 2-2, and top of the 10th inning, Diamondbacks come up. Jake Hager leading off with, you know, the runner Alec Thomas on second base, the ghost runner. Jake Hager, 29 career sack bunts between the minors and the major leagues. It, like, oh, let's get this guy over. They bunt. He pops up the bunt. He gets out. Diamondbacks don't score because they gave away a first out, didn't even get a base for it. Bottom of the 10th, Trent Grisham comes up. 6 sacrifice bunts this year. Great bunter. Bunts back to the pitcher. The pitcher turns, throws to third, gets the out at third. they get out and out for no reason. And now you have Grisham on second instead of Kim on, or Grisham on first instead of Kim on second. Padres don't score. Top of the 11th, Dalton Varsho comes up. Great bunter. Dalton Varsho tries to bunt, fouls it off, tries to bunt again, fouls it off again, ends up striking out because he gave away two strikes in the at-bat. Diamondbacks don't score. Bottom of the 10th, Nomar Mazara leading off. They don't bunt because Nomar Mazara can't bunt. Guess what ended up happening? They get an RBI single and they win the game. Now, I'm not saying bunting is going to cause you to lose. My point in all this is that in people's minds, I think you hear it, just sacrifice, just bunt him over. It's you could have no risk. Just put that guy at third base with one out and then you've got two outs to get him in. Bunting doesn't always work. Even really good bunters don't always get it down. There is a lot of risk. There's a very good chance that, you know, like probably a 40% chance that you're going to give away an out and not even get the extra base that you wanted. And so, you know, even if it is the right guy up in the right place, it's still not a given. Jake Hager, Trent Grisham, both really good bunters, didn't get the job done. And then last thing of this rant, and then I'll let you talk, Vince. Our buddy Justin Hicken was DMing us last week, and we were talking about productive outs. And I was looking at the productive outs leaderboard on ESPN. They track productive outs by team. And their definition of a productive out is actually defined and developed by ESPN, the magazine, and the Elias Sports Bureau. When a fly ball, a grounder, or a bunt advances a runner with nobody out, or when a grounder or fly ball scores a run with one out. So basically, you know, situations where we're talking about where you want a productive out. Dodgers are 25th in the major leagues in productive out percentage. They have 178 productive outs out of 619 opportunities. That's a 28.8% percentage. And that's 25th in the league. That's bad. Now, the teams surrounding them, 24th, the New York Mets, 26th, the New York Yankees. What do those teams have in common? Well, let's go to another board, the run scored leaderboard. Who's first in baseball this year? The New York Mets. Who's second? The New York Yankees. The top two teams, and the Dodgers are fifth. Three of the top five teams are in the bottom six in baseball and productive outs. How could that possibly be? Well, because one of the things you could do instead of a productive out is a productive hit. The Dodgers, with runners on a runner on first and less than two outs, they have a 287 batting average, 341 on base percentage, 469 slugging percentage for an 810 OPS, which is 18% better than league average in those situations. How about runners on third and less than two outs? They have 14 sac flies. That's cool. They also have a 368 batting average in those situations and a 957 OPS plus. That's 31% better than league average. The Dodgers don't have as many opportunities to have productive outs because they're always ruining them by getting hits in those situations. And that's why they're one of the highest scoring teams in baseball. And if you look at the productive outs leaderboard, there is zero correlation, positive or negative, between productive out percentage and quality of team. The top three teams in productive out percentage, the Washington Nationals, Colorado Rockies, and Pittsburgh Pirates. What do they have in common? They suck. Then you got the Giants, who are good, the Rays, who are good, the Cardinals, who are pretty good, the Astros, who are pretty good, the Angels, who are middle of the road, Orioles, who are bad, Braves, who are good, Mariners, who are pretty bad, Tigers, who are bad, Marlins, who are bad, Padres, who are okay, pretty good, Phillies, who aren't good, but they score a lot of runs. You know, it's just a mishmash of this leaderboard. And so the obsession with productive outs, I will continue to be obsessed with productive hits because that's the way to win consistently. And even in extra innings, your best bet to win is to have the leadoff guy hit an RBI double and then the next guy hit an RBI single. And then, you know, maybe a productive out then, and your third run comes through small ball. But that's how you're going to win games. And the key to winning extra inning games is score a bunch of runs in regulation so you don't go to extra innings.
And when we see the Dodgers lose, it's usually not from productive outs or sac flies. It's usually the guys giving up hits and the other team scoring, and then the Dodgers not getting hits. So that's usually how it goes. But I don't have any more to add on to that. That was great. You know, we're we've talked about small ball a lot and continue to talk about it. Just talked about it the other day with my uncle on Father's Day. And, you know, it's hard to change the minds of some people, but we're going to still try and, you know, give you the facts and let you keep your mind however you want it.
And for the record, I remain very glad that Eddie Alvarez sack bunted. That was good. You know, and then Gavin Lux sack flied to get him in. Great small ball run. The other seven runs came on hits, you know. One run on small ball, seven runs on productive hits. I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about LinkedIn jobs, because small businesses are back in business, that the world is opening up, and LinkedIn jobs can make it easier to grow your team. They can help you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. LinkedIn in general is, you know, pretty good for finding jobs, networking, all that good stuff. But LinkedIn jobs, even better. You can create a free job post in minutes and reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network, over 810 million people. Add your job. Then you add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. And it's why small businesses have rated LinkedIn jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn jobs can help you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. And did you know every week that nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. After you've posted your job, or maybe you get a job because of LinkedIn jobs, however it is, maybe you want to buy some jewelry for that special person in your life, and BlueNile.com can help you out with that. They can help you celebrate all of life's special moments. From creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And guess what? They can even help you figure out what you need to get, because they have jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Let's be honest, unless somebody tells you directly exactly what they want, us men maybe aren't the best at figuring out what that is. So BlueNile.com has you covered there, and you can get everything at good pricing and really nice stuff that's going to help you win some days and win some moments and, you know, maybe win some hearts or one heart. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Dodgers listeners can get $50 off a purchase of $500 or more with this podcast exclusive deal that also includes engagement rings. So use the code Locked On. That's code Locked On for $50 off of purchase of $500 or more. Every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging, so it won't let the secret out. Shop stress free and find your favorite piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. I just realized that was the first time I did the LinkedIn ad read. Usually, the way it works out, you've always done it. So,
yeah, you did a great job.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Back at it, and we're talking offense. The Dodgers, like you mentioned, put up eight runs, seven coming from the hit variety. You look at the first five in the lineup: Trey Turner, 4-for-5, Freddie Freeman, 3-for-4, 5 RBI, Will Smith, 2-for-4, 2 RBI, Max Muncy, 1-for-5, but hey, I think that raises his average since he's hitting under 200, so that's good. Chris Taylor, 3-for-5. And yeah, I mean, that's where it's at. Obviously, Freddie Freeman had the bulk of the runs driven in, but the Dodgers were hitting and getting those runs in, and it was good to see. Trey Turner continues to just make hit streaks. He loses one, and he's got a 10-game hit streak 10 games later, it seems like. And, you know, Freddie Freeman now, last three games, he's had a three-hit game, a home run in the other game, and another three-hit game. So that's looking good. You know, Trey Turner's been looking good, and if they can just get these other guys to contribute here and there like they did yesterday, the Dodgers are in for a good time.
Yeah, I joked on Twitter that sometimes all a struggling offense needs is a trip to Cincinnati. But Tyler Molly's a good pitcher, and they made him work, and they made him – they got to him. It's not just one of those things where they make him throw a lot of pitches, but they made him throw a lot of pitches, and they scored runs off him, you know. And
they
so,
lowered his trade value to maybe trade for him later.
Exactly. the long game they're playing. Yeah. You know, Dodger fan Tyler Molly is now worth a little bit less in trade. So everybody wins here. Dodgers win twice. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good game offensively. And, you know, it's not like they banged a bunch of home runs. You know, we know that Great American Ballpark is good for home runs, but they only had the one home run. And everything else, I mean, it was just a solid game offensively against a solid pitcher. And so for me, that is basically everything you could have hoped for in this situation, in this game. The offense broke out, and Will Smith's home run would have been a home run in 27 out of 30 ballparks. So you can't even call that one a Great American Bambox home run. It was a legit home run. And so you can't draw any conclusions from one game, but this offense that we saw on Tuesday afternoon was what we want and what we expect from this Dodgers offense.
Yeah, and it starts with the top of the order, as we've talked about. You know, it used to be when Mookie goes, the Dodgers go, which is still the case. But with Mookie out now, you can't even really say when Trey goes, the Dodgers go, because Trey's been going for most of the season, and the Dodgers have struggled in some of those times. But now it's, you know, when Freddie goes, I think the Dodgers go, and we saw that here in this game, and probably something we're going to keep looking out for. The other one is Will Smith, who's had a season probably not to his liking, but he's always been a guy that hits the ball hard. He's starting to get more balls over the fence now in the last few weeks, and starting to, you know, might be a little bit too late. It seems he's fifth in NL All-Star voting in the first ballot update. Might not be enough for him to get to first in the fan voting, but it might be enough for him to start his case for being one of the reserves in the All-Star game. And, you know, he continues to hit like he's been hitting. I would imagine that's not going to be an issue at all. You know, I laughed about Max Muncy going 1-for-5 because it does raise his average, but it's also a matter of, hey, you know, if he can get one hit a game, I'll take that over what we were getting before, which is, you know, no hits a game. And, you know, the only one that didn't get the hit was Eddie Alvarez, but he did have that sack bunt. And then, you know, Cody Bellinger 0-for-5, but only one strikeout. So, you know, you got to take the positives where you can get them with some of these guys. Justin Turner had a couple hits. So it was good to see. But as we know, it's a day-to-day game in this business. And we're just going to have to wait till tomorrow to see if we're frustrated or if we're happy again.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the one strikeout from Bellinger was kind of a fluke. He was asking for timeout. The umpire didn't give it to him. And so he ended up, you know, taking strike three, but in a weird situation. You know, you mentioned the top of the lineup, and I'm going to lump Lux in there, you know, the nine hitter. I mentioned that YouTube thing I did with the Dodgers Nations guys. I actually made a case to have Gavin Lux be the leadoff hitter during this time that Mookie Betts is out, you know, see how he does there. But if you look at the 9-1-2-3 hitters, those four guys had 11 hits in this game and 11 hits and a walk. So those four guys were on base 12 times. That will get the job done. Having four consecutive hitters anywhere in the lineup, getting on base an average of three times each, you're going to score runs. It's almost physically impossible not to. Now, I know Dodgers have not scored runs in some ways that seem physically impossible this season, but you know, that is definitely a recipe for success. And then the two hits from Turner, three hits from Taylor, you know, all in all, just a really, really balanced team effort that, you know, really comes down to stringing hits together. And that's where the Dodgers struggled sometimes this year. And it was beautiful to see them string hits together repeatedly in multiple innings.
And now we get to see, hopefully we see it again, where the Dodgers can lower the trade value of another guy they might have on the radar with Luis Castillo pitching on Wednesday. So that's going to do it for today's episode, unless you have anything else, Jeff.
Just the little note that you and I were talking about before we recorded, that Tyler Anderson no longer stayed in to preserve his no-hitter, to go for his no-hitter. He now stayed in to go for his one-hitter. As we talked about after that game, Jared Walsh's ground ball that they originally gave Tyler Anderson an error on, you and I both agreed that night that in any other situation, if there wasn't a no-hitter going, that's definitely an error. And the official scorers eventually agreed with us. They've changed that. So Tyler Anderson now allowed two hits in that game. They would not have made this scoring change if Anderson had completed the no-hitter. No no-hitter has ever been taken away retroactively because of a scoring change. There were some no-hitters taken away retroactively by a rules change that said you have to pitch at least nine innings to get a no-hitter. So Andy Hawkins and Pedro Martinez and Pascual Perez and a few others lost some no-hitters. But nobody's ever had a no-hitter taken away after the fact because of a scoring change. So basically, Shohei Ohtani's hit in the ninth inning of that game just raised Jared Walsh's batting average a little bit. Or no, lowered. Yeah, raised his batting average because it was originally called an error. Now it's a hit. And yeah, so it's kind of funny how that works. Doesn't change the quality of Anderson's game at all. It was still a dominant game. And but yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't know if they would make that change because he did come so close to a no-hitter and because Dave Roberts clearly let him throw a lot more pitches than he would have otherwise because of the no-hitter. But in the end, yeah, they did make that change. So yeah, Tyler Anderson allowed two runs last time out, or two hits last time out, which is two more than he's going to allow today against the Reds. That's my prediction. No-hitter for Tyler Anderson coming up.
I wonder if somebody lost or won a fantasy because of this change, stat correction. I don't know if it goes back that far.
Yeah, do fantasy stats get retroactive or do they just get
compiled? I know I've seen it in fantasy football, but those are usually corrected like the day after, so it's not, you know, this is almost a week after, so I don't know.
Well, we may never know.
If somebody loses or that watches this lost or won a fantasy, let us know, because yeah, I don't have no idea. Yep. I'm too connected to baseball to play fantasy. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow talking about Tyler Anderson's outing and the Dodgers shellacking of Luis Castillo. So make sure to come back for that. Make us your first listen of the day every day. For our second listen, check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. The first picks have already been made, but you can go still check it out, the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, with over 50 insiders, Odyssey sports experts, and draft experts all talking the Locked On NBA Big Board. 5 episodes. Go check it out. Make it your second listen of the day. Find it wherever you find podcasts, Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. Just go search for that. Okay, for us, we're here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. Other ways to get a hold of us are email lockedondodgers@gmail.com or voicemail text 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.